searching podcasts for The Daily Perspective. Okay, The Daily Perspective podcast coming up.
Hi there, welcome into the Friday edition of The Daily Perspective. Hi there. I said that already, didn't I? Either too much or not enough caffeine. Mark Congleton here, your sometimes humble host for this hour of observation, insight, and absurdity. The Friday edition of The Daily Perspective podcast. Diving into a weekend, looking at a short week next week. Little housekeeping right up front. I'm taking Thanksgiving Day and the day after off next week, so no podcasts on Thanksgiving Day or the day following. No Thanksgiving or Black Friday podcast. And no, I will not be out shopping. I may be crazy, but I'm not insane. It is a it's a somewhat beautiful day in the neighborhood. It looks like we're through with the insanity of the what is that thing? The witch hunt that's been going on television in Washington, D.C., the impeachment hearings. At least for now, there may be more. I don't know. Who can discern the depths of the mind of the lunatics in Washington, D.C.? I know that I certainly can't. I don't pretend to, unless it's just painfully obvious what they're really thinking. But so far, it looks like we have a reprieve. No more people sitting and talking to members of Congress and other members of Congress asking simple questions and revealing lies. It's going to be a nice day without that today. We have several things to talk about today. Michael Moore, filmmaker Michael Moore, went on a rant on MSNBC. And I'm going to play you the whole rant. Why? No, not because I want to rot the brain out of your head, but because I want you to hear how a progressive thinks and their perception of life in the United States, where they actually see themselves fitting into the big picture. He's very revealing. So we're going to pass that along a little bit later. What else is there? There's an FBI official under investigation, criminal investigation, for doing something naughty. That had something to do with the probe into the Trump campaign. We'll look at that. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has been charged with the corruption. And it's not, trust me, it's not everything you think it is. This is a developing story, and I'll get into more on that in a little bit. Let's just suffice to say that the news media in Israel is worse than the news media in the United States. You don't get the truth from them. It's even worse over there. What else? Okay, let's start with this. The other day, we talked at length, it was pretty much the entire podcast, was about the decision made by Chick-fil-A to stop making donations to the Salvation Army and to another, golly, and it's the Fellowship of Christian Athletes, I think, is what it was. So they're not making the donations to those. Yes, it was Fellowship of Christian Army Athletes and the Salvation Army. So they're not making donations there anymore. And a lot of people, including myself, were having a lot of trouble coming to grips with why. The only reason we could come up with was they were knuckling under to pressure. It's the only logical explanation. Is it still, though? Even Franklin Graham posted online how disappointed he was about it. He revealed he has personally called Chick-fil-A's CEO, Dan Cathy, to seek assurances after the restaurant chain announced it would be ceasing charitable donations to the Salvation Army and the FCA. This is coming from CBN News. While critics have accused Chick-fil-A of caving to LGBT activists, Graham insisted that off the back of his call with Cathy, it was clear that this was not the case. Quote, Dan was very clear that they have not bowed down to anyone's demands, including the LGBTQ community. This is what he wrote. They will continue to support whoever they want to support, They haven't changed who they are or what they believe. Chick-fil-A remains committed to Christian values. Dan Cathy assured me this isn't going to change. I hope all those who jumped to the wrong conclusion about them read this. Despite Graham's claims, Chick-fil-A has not issued any official statements regarding the specific reason for why they dropped the Salvation Army and FCA in particular, nor have they expressed a view of the group's biblically informed positions on sexuality. From the little information Chick-fil-A has released on the decision, it appears that they were simply sick of the negative press. Chick-fil-A President and Chief Operating Officer Tim Tosopoulos told BizNow, "We need to be clear about who we are. There are lots of articles and newscasts about Chick-fil-A, and we thought we needed to be clear about our message." On the company's future donations, the BizNow report noted that partners could include faith-based and non-faith-based charities, but the company said none of the organizations have anti-LGBT positions. It's unclear what BizNow or Chick-fil-A, for that matter, would define as anti-LGBT. Chick-fil-A did explicitly state that it would be refocusing charitable funds toward the tackling of issues such as hunger and homelessness. That is a confusing assertion in itself, not least because the Salvation Army is internationally renowned for its work in helping the poor and homeless. Something the charity honed in on when they responded to the controversy. And I read you that their response the other day was very to the point. They are internationally known for their work in helping the poor and the homeless. Arguing in defense of Chick-fil-A, Franklin Graham went on to suggest that the gay movement wouldn't ever be happy with Chick-fil-A unless they were open on Sunday, gave all their charitable donations to LGBTQ organizations, and flew the rainbow flag over their stores. He's right. He concluded that the LGBT crowd's hatred for Chick-fil-A is rooted in founder Truett Cathy's strong stand for biblical traditional values and his desire to honor God, values that he insists are still very much alive at the highest echelons of the company. This is exactly what I posted online the other day and shared with you here. He goes on to say, "No fast food chain does a better job. I went through the drive-thru at Chick-fil-A yesterday morning, and I thought I might get dinner there. But a whole lot of other people had the same idea. Chick-fil-A sandwich with waffle fries sounds really good right now. Doesn't it, though?" So, they have clarified and yet not clarified their position. I still want to know why. I want a definitive why. I want an explanation. Why did you drop the Salvation Army and the FCA? Why? If you're establishing possibly your own, are you establishing your own avenue of aid for these causes? I can see that. I still want to know why. I think a lot of people would like to know why. So, Chick-fil-A, why? I'm going to tell you, I love me some Chick-fil-A. I have an on-again, off-again relationship with Chick-fil-A. Because, hey, them there are some tasty sandwiches. And the waffle fries, oh my. The slaw, oh my. The lemonade, oh my. Some good stuff. I could go for a spicy chicken sandwich right now, in fact. There have been times I've had enough. For example, when working during the summertime at Stone Mountain, working with Atlanta Fest, there every day from can to can't, Chick-fil-A, couple, three meals a day. Not that there wasn't other stuff, but Chick-fil-A was easy. You just grab a, you know, a package and move. And they were there every day, serving, helping. And I don't mean just behind a table passing food out. I mean, people from the local Chick-fil-A restaurants were there behind the scenes every day, serving. "Hey, could you use some more lemonade? I'll be right back." At your table. "Hey, I'll clean that up for you. I got it. Don't worry, I'll throw that away." as you get up and leave. And, hey, you want another sandwich? I'll get you one. Just amazing. When there weren't people to serve in line, they were walking to the tables, asking what they could do to help you. It was like you were in a restaurant. And that was the level of servanthood we saw from Chick-fil-A during those times that we were there, those years that we went and worked in the heat of the summer. And I respect that. But I still want to know, why? Why did you drop the Salvation Army? Why did you drop the Fellowship of Christian Athletes? I mean, being tired of the pushback, being tired of the negative publicity, I'm sorry, it's not enough. It's just not enough. There has to be a real concrete reason. There has to be a why. And I think those of us who stood behind you for all this time deserve to know the why. So bring it. Come on. Well, in the final day of, I'm shifting gears here. I got to get off of Chick-fil-A because it's making me hungry. In the final day of this bizarre set of hearings, which is basically it's an expedition looking for a reason to impeach a president. Devin Nunes, his opening statement yesterday was priceless. It's just about 2 minutes long, and I want to share it with you before we move any further. Okay?
I once again urge Americans to continue to consider the credibility of the Democrats on this committee who are now hurling these charges. For the last 3 years, it's not President Trump who got caught. It's the Democrats who got caught. They got caught falsely claiming they had more than circumstantial evidence that Trump colluded with Russians to hack the 2016 election. They got caught orchestrating this entire farce with the whistleblower and lying about their secret meetings with him. They got caught defending the false allegations of the Steele dossier, which was paid for by them. They got caught breaking their promise that impeachment would only go forward with bipartisan support because of how damaging it is to the American people. They got caught running a sham impeachment process featuring secret depositions, hidden transcripts, and an unending flood of Democrat leaks to the media. They got caught trying to obtain nude photos of President Trump from Russian pranksters pretending to be Ukrainians. And they got caught covering up for Alexander Chalupa, a Democratic National Committee operative who colluded with Ukrainian officials to smear the Trump campaign by improperly redacting her name from deposition transcripts and refusing to let Americans hear her testimony as a witness in these proceedings. That is the Democrats' pitiful legacy in recent years. They got caught.
And that is a good summary of what we've seen for the last couple of years. Time and time again, the Democrats have trotted out things just for the sake of sensationalism, in order to gain attention, to create negative image for our president. And that is the entire reason they've done what they've done. They have been working to paint a very nasty picture of the man that won an Electoral College landslide for the presidency. From the very beginning, from mere days, the day, actually, it was the day after the election, on The View, on news channels across America, they were talking about impeachment, they were talking about removal from office, They were talking about a coup, a way to get rid of this person who won the election instead of Hillary Clinton. They couldn't handle the outcome. The very same people who said Trump would never be able to handle the outcome of the election if he didn't win, then proved that they were projecting their own psyche onto Donald Trump. They were the ones who couldn't handle someone else winning. And since that day, they've been working to remove him, or at the very least, make it impossible for him to do his job. And guess what? For the most part, they've been failing at that too. Welcome back to The Daily Perspective. Thank you so much for being there, wherever that may be, and whenever that may be. If you're on Facebook Live, hey, how you doing? Good to see you there. If you are listening via podcast at some other place and time, thanks for time traveling. I appreciate it. Please share the technology. It is the Friday edition, November the 22nd, 2019. Looking back on the week, it's been a bizarre week, especially if you've been paying attention to what's been happening on the Hill in Washington, D.C., as the Democrats seek to undermine the President of the United States. There seems to be a lot of that going around, because Israel's Prime Minister, excuse me, this is what I get for actually reading something instead of interpreting something, is Israel's Prime Minister accused his opponents of trying to carry out an attempted coup against him after he was formally charged yesterday in a series of corruption cases. This is a story coming to us from Fox News, but it's all over the place today. Benjamin Netanyahu has been charged with fraud, breach of trust, and accepting bribes in three different scandals. The first time in a sitting prime minister is charged with a crime in Israel. The allegations against him include suspicions that he accepted hundreds of thousands of dollars in champagne and cigars from billionaire friends, offered to trade favors with a newspaper publisher, and used his influence to help a wealthy telecom magnate in exchange for favorable coverage on a popular news site. Attorney General Avichai Mandelbilt said yesterday, a day in which the attorney general decides to serve an indictment against a seated prime minister for serious crimes of corrupt governance is a heavy and sad day for the Israeli public and for me personally. Netanyahu, in response, said the indictment stemmed from false accusations and a systematically tainted investigation. The charges deal a blow to Netanyahu's hopes to remain in office, though he would not be required to step aside. Netanyahu previously has called the allegations a part of a witch hunt, lashing out against the media, police, prosecutors, and the justice system. But Mandelbit on yesterday, rejected suggestions that the indictment was politically motivated, saying it was a heavy-hearted decision based solely on professional considerations. Netanyahu's predecessor, Ehud Olmert, stepped down before he was indicted on corruption charges a decade ago. Olmert later served 16 months in prison for fraud and bribery. The decision comes at a tumultuous time for Israel. After an inconclusive election in September, both Netanyahu and his chief rival, Benny Gantz, have failed to form a majority coalition in parliament. It's the first time in the nation's history that's happened. The country now enters an unprecedented 21-day period in which any member of the parliament can try to rally a 61-member majority to become prime minister. If that fails, new elections would be triggered early next year. Gantz followed the announcement yesterday of the charges, said the prime minister now has no public or moral mandate to make fateful decisions for the state of Israel. Well, of course he would say that. He added that the indictment raises concerns that Netanyahu, quote, will make decisions in his own personal interest and for his political survival and not for the national interest. Well, duh. Don't you think he would do that at the same time? That's what you call That's what you call spinning right there. The most serious charges were connected to the so-called Case 4000, on which Netanyahu is accused of passing regulations that give his friend, telecom magnate Shaul Elovich, benefits worth over $250 million to his company, Bezeq. In return, Bezeq's news site, Walla, published favorable articles about Netanyahu and his family. The relationship, the indictment said, was based on a mutual understanding that each of them had significant interests that the other side had the ability to advance. It accused Netanyahu of concealing the relationship by providing partial and misleading information about his connections with Elovich. The indictment also said that Netanyahu's gifts of champagne from billionaires Arnon Milchan and James Packer turned into a sort of supply line. It estimated the value of gifts at nearly $200,000. The indictment said Netanyahu assisted the Israeli Milchan, a Hollywood mogul, in extending his U.S. visa. It was not immediately clear what, if anything, Packer received in return. In June, Netanyahu's wife, Sarah, agreed to a plea deal in connection with allegations that she misused about $100,000 in government money. Mrs. Netanyahu, who had been married to the prime minister since 1991, had been accused of running up large tabs at luxury restaurants, even though the prime minister's official residence employed a full-time chef. Under terms of that agreement, she had been sentenced to pay a fine of roughly $15,000. Now, as I said, the news media in Israel is pretty bad. It's worse than the news media here. So what we know about what's really going on there is coming to us from the lens, through the lens of this anti-Netanyahu news media. And I'm not here to defend the man or to justify anything he has done or to negate anything the media is saying. I will, however, remind you of this. It's an old saying. You can indict a ham sandwich. An indictment is an accusation. And it's not much more than that. Oh, but it carries the weight of... No, it actually doesn't. It is just an accusation. A legalistic accusation. And so, there's an indictment. It's making claims. We don't know if the claims are true. We don't know if the claims are lies. All we know is what the claims claim and that there has been an indictment. So please, 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 pretty please, keep in mind that the press, generally speaking, around the world, is leftist, and that Benjamin Netanyahu is not. That is a fact that we can stand on, that we do know. I don't know if the man's guilty. I don't know if the man's innocent. All I know is the track record of the progressive press around the world and how they love a salacious story. They love a sensational story, and they love to claim. They love to claim that they love to claim that somebody is guilty of something, even though that person may not be guilty of the thing they're talking about. Just remember, we're talking about the types of organizations like CNN, who spent how long? Nearly 2 years talking about that Malaysian airliner. Like, they had to have something to talk about, and there was nothing salacious that they could talk about in the Obama administration. Oh, heaven forbid. So they talked about this airline every time you turned them on. Oh, breaking news on the airliner. And for the past almost 3 years, all of them have been talking about President Trump. And they've all been talking negatively about President Trump. And that's the experience we can pull from here in the United States and apply it to Israel and what's happening in the press there. And here's an example. This is something that popped up yesterday. It's almost 2.5 minutes long, and it starts from the very beginning of the Trump administration. The very beginning in January of 2017 and works its way through the next couple of years. And it's the news media breathlessly bringing us the latest on Trump.
Breaking news.
A bombshell.
Today is a turning point. Today was historically bad for President Trump.
Today was a turning point.
A turning point.
We're at a turning point here.
The beginning of the end for the Trump presidency.
We have another bombshell.
Mike Pence might have to assume the office of the presidency.
Rumblings of the word impeachment.
Breaking news.
Another bombshell out of the White House.
I believe this is the beginning of the end.
I do too.
It's really the beginning of the end.
He may be feeling the walls closing in on him.
All the walls closing in on him.
The walls closing in on him.
Breaking news, a new bombshell.
One astrologer says this means the beginning of the end for President Donald Trump.
Trump will resign.
Trump is going to resign.
Is this the tipping point? I know we've said it over and over.
You think this is a tipping point?
And over and over.
This is a tipping point.
And over and over.
Breaking news, President Trump off the rails.
It was the beginning of the end today.
The beginning of the end.
Breaking news tonight, new bombshell.
This is the beginning, not the end.
The beginning of the end.
The walls are closing in.
The walls closing in.
The walls closing in.
Breaking overnight bombshell.
This is a very dramatic day, and I think it might be near a tipping point. Do you think this is a tipping point?
December 1st, 2017, you can mark it down. This is the day that everything changed.
The beginning of the end?
Beginning of the end.
The beginning of the end.
The beginning of the end.
The beginning of the end.
We begin tonight with a bombshell.
Donald Trump is in a lot of trouble.
Trump is in trouble.
The president will resign.
Another hour, another bombshell.
This is a tipping point.
Trump's going down.
This president could be impeached.
Resignation. Resignation. I don't think this president is going to serve out his term.
Mr. Trump will not serve out his term.
He will not serve out his term.
No way. No how.
Breaking news.
Absolute bombshell.
Donald Trump is not. He's done. And it's over.
It's over.
The wall's closing in.
The wall's closing in.
This is going to be the Achilles heel.
Breaking news tonight. I expect Trump to depart.
This week will be the watershed week.
Trump is in big trouble.
Trump's in a lot of trouble.
It's a sign of a terrified old man who feels the
walls
closing in.
And there's more. It keeps going and keeps going and keeps going and keeps going. And keeps going. And keeps going. They're up to September of last year now. The news media is desperate. Desperate. Welcome back to The Daily Perspective. It's the Friday edition of the show heading into the weekend. Yeah, the weekend is here. And then a short week for a lot of people. Thanksgiving next Thursday. And just a reminder, as I told you off the top, no podcast next Thursday or Friday. No, not on Thanksgiving or Black Friday. And no, I'm not going shopping. It is, it's a long weekend. You're just going to take a couple of days off. Enjoy some time with family. You should do that too. Turn off the news. Just enjoy the time with the family. Pet your dog. Split some firewood. Rake some leaves. You know, stuff. Real life. You can do that for short periods of time. A couple of days here and there. Just don't do it for longer than that. Because, if you do it for longer than that, the next thing you know, we have another president like Barack Obama. You don't want to do that. Oh, no. Oh, gosh. Let's see. Back to the news. What else was there? I'm just kind of skimming through my list here to make sure I didn't miss anything, because during that break, which is a kind of the longer break of the hour, I tend to get distracted. So where are we? Let me just remind you, I really appreciate the fact that you're sharing the podcast with your friends, and I need to remind you of how you can do that. It's really simple. You can tell them to look for the Daily Perspective podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts. It's on Spotify. It's also on the iHeartRadio app. Yeah, every time I say iHeart, my brain says iTunes. No, it's the iHeartRadio app. It's there as well as those other three places. That's easy. You can also go, this is really the simple way. Just tell them, well, there's two ways. Look for the podcast on Facebook and Twitter. Excuse me. And then they can go from there to find the website. Or just straight to the website is the other way. And that is dailyperspectivepodcast.com. Yeah, it's a long name. I searched for lots of different alternatives, and that was the one that made the most sense, because I couldn't just get dailyperspective.com. Somebody's got that. So And I wasn't willing to pay them tons of money for that name when I could just say, okay, I'll add the word podcast to it. So it's dailyperspectivepodcast.com. Go there. In fact, you get more than the podcast there. The show notes are there every day on dailyperspectivepodcast.com. And those echo, by the way, every time I post to the website, it also posts automatically to Facebook and to Twitter. So it goes to those three places every day. You can trace it back to the source, dailyperspectivepodcast.com. You get the daily show notes, the daily podcast, and also from time to time, if something strikes me, I will type something up and post it there about a news story that I think I need to pass along to you that odds are I'm not going to share in the show just for one reason or another. Maybe on the weekend, maybe it's after the show, maybe it won't weather or age well for the next day, that sort of a thing. So I pass those things along as I see them, and I put my little 2 cents worth in, and then I'll link to the article. So go there. Make sure it's bookmarked that you know you can get there every day. Go to dailyperspectivepodcast.com and share the link with your friends so that they can find this podcast and join the fun every weekday, except for next Thursday and Friday. Remember that. Okay, coming from Daily Wire, this was a breaking story last night, and it will be developing today. An FBI official is under criminal investigation for allegedly altering a document that was central to the FBI's surveillance of a Trump campaign official in 2016. This is according to a new report from CNN. CNN reported the finding is expected to be part of Justice Department Inspector General Michael Horowitz's review of the FBI's effort to obtain warrants under the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, that's FISA, on Carter Page, a former Trump campaign aide. Horowitz turned over evidence on the allegedly altered document to John Durham, the federal prosecutor appointed early this year by Attorney General William Barr, to conduct a broad investigation of intelligence gathered for the Russia probe by the CIA and other agencies, including the FBI. The altered document is also at least one focus of Durham's criminal probe. Fox News' Greg Ray reported last month that sources indicated that Horowitz's upcoming report on alleged FBI surveillance misconduct against the Trump campaign in 2016, quote, will shed light on why Durham's probe has become a criminal inquiry, end quote. Horowitz has been investigating whether the FBI misled the Foreign Intelligence Service Court, Surveillance Court, FISA, in seeking permission to surveil the Trump campaign, while U.S. Attorney John Durham has been investigating the origins of the FBI's Russia investigation. Sources told CNN that the edits to the document were serious enough that the edits allegedly changed the document's original meaning. Quote, Horowitz's investigators conducted more than 100 witness interviews in their review. During one of the interviews this year, they confronted the witness about the document. The witness admitted to the change. The identity or rank of the FBI employee under investigation isn't yet known, and it's not clear whether the employee still works in the federal government. No charges that could reflect the situation have been filed publicly in court. The New York Times reported last month that the investigation into the origins of the Russia investigation had taken a serious turn, as evidence that was reportedly found by Durham shifted the probe from an administrative review into a full-fledged criminal investigation. Ray noted in a separate report that sources said Durham was very interested to question former Director of National Intelligence James Clapper and former CIA Director John Brennan, an anti-Trump critic who recently dismissed the idea. The two Obama administration officials were at the helm when the unverified and largely discredited Steele dossier, written by British ex-spy Christopher Steele and funded by the Hillary Clinton campaign and the Democratic National Committee, was used to justify a secret surveillance warrant against former Trump advisor Carter Page. Durham's investigation has expanded as a result of additionally uncovered information, as the United States has also reportedly been in contact with Italy, the United Kingdom, and Australia in gathering evidence. So this investigation, as they say, is about to hit the fan. This is like the first little leak. And we're about to start seeing things that those people that have been on TV for the last few days trying to impeach the president do not want us to see. They don't want us to know what they have been doing behind closed doors, under the cover of darkness, and anonymously behind the scenes. They don't want us to know. This all sounds like conspiracy theory. Oh, dark stuff happening in Washington, D.C. No, it's not. It's business as usual. This is the way our government really operates. We have an image, which is a proper image, of a government that we elect, of people who go to Washington, D.C. to represent us and our interests, the home folks, as Bill O'Reilly likes to say, the folks. They go to represent us and our interests because they're one of us. But in reality, as people who have only been there for a short time will tell you, is that those who have been there for a longer time aren't interested in the folks back home anymore. They're interested in power and control. They're learning how to campaign constantly because they're constantly running for re-election. They learn how to raise money. They learn how to make deals. They learn how to network with people who will help them gain more power and control. And that is what their careers become. Not representing the interests of the folks back home. And as part of that, when their racket is exposed, they fight back. Remember, Donald Trump was told that the intelligence community had half a dozen different ways to get even with him if he rattled their cage. Remember? Wasn't it Harry Reid that told him that? So the underground operation, the so-called deep state, is very real. And it is working hard to undermine the credibility and the image of the President of the United States, because he's walked around the room, so to speak, opening all the blinds and letting the sunlight in so that people can see what's going on. And now we're seeing there's an FBI official under criminal investigation for altering a document that was used to start the probe into the Trump campaign. And this is just the beginning. It is just the beginning. Let's move forward. I mentioned earlier that Michael Moore was on MSNBC. And they let him roll for like 12 minutes the last time he was on. Talked about the need for a liberal 2020 nominee. And on Wednesday night, they let him roll with just a few interruptions for 7 whole minutes. And one of the things he said was that he said, I am the center of the Democratic Party. He sees himself as being in the mainstream. He sees himself as representing the majority of Americans. We're going to come back to this after the break, and I'm going to roll his audio for you. It's almost 3 minutes long, which is why I didn't roll it right now, because we're up against it. After the break, you'll hear his audio. You'll hear his own words. You'll hear his intent, his passion. And you'll understand. You'll better understand why your progressive friends, or the progressives in general, see the world as they do. We'll dig into that in just a couple of minutes when the Daily Perspective continues on this Friday before Thanksgiving. Come on. There it is. Here we are diving into the final segment of this Friday edition of the Daily Perspective. Did you see, before we move forward, Tesla unveiled their Cybertruck? Yeah. It honestly, it looks like something out of a video game. An old 8-bit video game. It really does. Bulletproof body. Tough glass. Starts at $39,900. Before you think that's a lot of money for a pickup truck, go look at how much an F-150 costs nowadays. One that's nicely outfitted. Oh, they go up from there. But I watched the release video early this morning, and I thought to myself, wow, that's one ugly truck. It really is. It looks like a Hummer and a Lamborghini had a baby. Is what it looks like. It's just really odd looking. Very angular, very strange, very weird. It's almost like a DeLorean version of a pickup truck. Lots of glass, lots of stainless steel, LED light strips on the front and the back. There's one across above the windshield. There's one across the front, at the front edge of the fenders. It's just a really, really odd looking truck. An odd looking truck. And trust me, the only place you're going to see this truck hauling anything is in Los Angeles. That's the only place you'll see it. But I digress. Speaking of Los Angeles, California, the Supreme Court there has rejected the law that was passed that requires President Trump to release his tax returns to get on the ballot. They said it's not enforceable. You can't do this. No. And of course, they're going to fight and try to make it happen anyway. But just so you know, that's not happening at this point. The California Supreme Court, out there where everybody, you know, leans to the left, hard left, they said, oh, this was never going to work. And speaking of somebody who's so far to the left, you have to put props under that side of your TV every time he's on it. Michael Moore was back on MSNBC. Brian Williams excitedly introduced him. He said, Michael Moore is back with us. Michigander, movie maker, muckraker in the finest tradition. Moore praised the Democrat Party moving left, in spite of the fact, I might add, that Barack Hussein Obama has posted recently on social media and said publicly, you guys are pushing too far left. You're pushing too far left. You're getting into the crazy. People aren't going to vote for that. Translation, save all that crap for after you get elected and then do it like I did. Whew. But Michael Moore praised the Democratic Party moving left, saying, you guys were talking about how we have to be more moderate or move to the center. That's how we're going to win next year. See, to me, I think moving to the center, I am the center. I am the mainstream now of the Democrat Party. Well, let's listen to him say it.
Just in the same way, I think that we have to, when you guys were talking about how we have to be more moderate or move to the center, that's how we're going to win next year. See, to me, I think moving to the center, I am the center. I am the mainstream now of the Democratic Party. The majority of Americans agree with me and Bernie on all the issues, whether it's health care for all, whether it's climate change, minimum wage, mass incarceration, but down the whole list, the American people have moved left. So the center is now more of these sorts of things. This is what we believe. So when you say that, like, for instance, with Joe Biden said tonight, 160 million Americans want to keep their private insurance. Says who? Are you actually talking to people about this? They want the assurance that whatever we have with the new Medicare for All is essentially just a transfer from what they have with their good union health care. It's going to be that, but it's going to be better for you. You're not going to have co-pays and deductibles. fine. But what the average Democrat and the average American does not like the health insurance company. They hate Aetna and Cigna and United Healthcare. These are people that they're fighting with to get them to pay a bill that they won't pay. The healthcare industry has caused more pain and harm and anxiety for the American people than practically any other industry. And we should never side with candidates that are going to say, we're going to keep this private profit making thing going. That's not where the American people are at. They are fed up with this. And I'll tell you, I got an earful of it back home in Flint last month when General Motors was on strike.
Yep.
What did the CEO of GM do on the third day of the strike? She took away their health care. She shut it down. They couldn't believe it. Nobody. I come from a GM family. GM, your health care, UAW employee.
Sure.
It's everything. Medical, dental, eye care. You even get a free lawyer if you need one. It's like it's the best. And on the third day, they saw the thing that they thought they'd have forever could be taken away by the company like that. And that's what people need to know, that we can never allow our health insurance to be in the hands of a private profit-making company where they can end you tomorrow. Anybody watching the show right now, your boss could wake up in the morning and go, you know what, Steve, it just cost us too much money here to have this health insurance for the employees. We got to cut it back. We got to raise the deductible. They can do this just like that. That should be illegal. It's a human right. And we need to be like every other industrialized country that has this.
What he just did was compare two completely different scenarios and portray them as the same thing. And there's more. I'll get to that in just a moment. The UAW workers on strike were no longer working for GM. They were on strike. GM said, okay, well, you're not working for us. We're not paying you. We're not covering you with insurance either. That is a far cry. It's the opposite, polar opposite of some CEO saying, you know what, we're just not going to cover you anymore. First off, that's an imaginary scenario that doesn't happen. It just does not happen. Michael Moore, being the communist that he is, wants you to believe that the CEOs of company are evil, greedy people who will take your health care coverage away from you because that means they have more money. That's what he wants people to believe. That is a lie, because CEOs who are worth their salt and who are successful understand that providing that benefit is good for everyone, including them. It's good for their bottom line. It's good for productivity. It's good for the employees. It's good every way you look at it. And taking it away is bad. The only time that's going to happen in the real world is when the business is on its last legs. It's starving for funding. It's dying. And they're cutting corners to save money because they're about to die. That's when that happens. If it happens to you, you should have already been looking for another job, because where you work is going under. He's trying to make those the same thing. Now, he claims at one point that he represents the mainstream of America, that they all believe the same things that he and Bernie Sanders believe. Did you catch that? That most Americans believe what Michael Moore and Bernie Sanders believe. Climate change and all of the other radical leftist weirdo ideas that are presented by Bernie Sanders. Medicare for all, the whole package. I'll just say this. If most Americans believed in the Great Pumpkin, it would not make it any more real than it is. Michael Moore, Bernie Sanders, and all of those people on the left believe, I'm air quoting, believe in something that is a fabrication, a falsehood, a fantasy that can't happen. And that's what you need to understand. And that's it for today and for the week. God bless you. Have a great weekend. We'll see you back here Monday on the next edition of The Daily Perspective. Bye-bye.
Take the next 2 days off. How's that?